Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome. This is Debbie. On today's show, I'm going to be speaking with Andrea Ramos, the nurse medium, who is an evidential medium. And I think you guys know by now that evidential means she finds evidence and proof. So we know she's definitely talking to whomever she's working with. She is an internationally recognized psychic medium, medical intuitive, and trauma-informed mental health professional. This show, Dare to Dream, won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast. Welp Magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and we are high ranking on Apple Podcasts. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane Here and Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world, so if you would like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes anywhere in the world, go to Dr. Dane Here, HEER.com. If you would like to know what your galactic ancestry is, find out your own starseed lineage, I've got a free gift for you that uncovers starseeds in many places and spaces in the cosmos. You can find out with this detailed information about your star lineage. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. It's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. Got so many beautiful events coming up here in 2025. These are all opportunities live and also remote, most of them on Zoom. So I'll give you a brief rundown so you know what is possible for you. Coming up, my guest here today and myself are both speaking at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. That's February 7th through the 10th. You can join me. I'm speaking on shamans and extraterrestrials and their message for today, Friday, 5 p.m. I'm also doing a 90-minute workshop on Sunday at 10 a.m. regarding animal spirit medicine for the new year. Then I'm going to be moderating the Galactic Federation and ET Races panel. My panelists Saturday at 2:30 are Elizabeth April, Ishmael Perez, Sarah Adams, Tony Gazi, Anthony Kalisk, Debbie Solaris, and Jerome Martin. And then for the first time at Conscious Life Expo, I will be hosting a live podcast with an audience at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, and I'm interviewing Marilyn Gawaki, who channels Zazar, to come, and please don't miss this amazing event. It is life-changing, and it's beautiful. They do it every year annually at the beginning of the year, so we have all this wisdom and shifts happening right away. Go to debbiedashinger.com/CLE. Also coming up, a 90-minute shamanic group healing. I'm going to be performing an extended healing experience on Wednesday, February 12th, 3 to 4:30 p.m. or 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So Pacific or Eastern. Book to reserve your seat before it fills up. This is normally $97 a person to join the 90-minute experience. This time, right now, only the Zoom group healing is $33. People are already signing up. So definitely, we've got a limit on the amount of seats. Do join us. It's going to be in the show notes. I will put the link there for you to join me for February 12th, 90-minute healing. And finally, a 5-week deep dive program into ETs, DNA, healing, and shamanism. 5 Wednesdays. I'm so excited about this because I love building community. I love working with you guys. And this is going to be a beautiful weaving of all of these subjects, which I find to be profound and ever-changing. And at the same time, you will be receiving healings and activations during those 5 weeks. I do have an early bird special of $333. $5 right now. You can join and pay one payment or two, so this is open to you. It does begin on February 19th, weekly for 5 weeks. Again, that registration link will be below in the show notes or the description. It's a limited amount of people involved. You can only come if you fit in because we have 20 spots available. There's a 7-day money-back guarantee, so secure your seat in this life-changing interactive program. Well, today, I'll just tell you guys, I saw information on this woman some time ago, and it did something inside of me. I just felt this stirring, this fascination, very intrigued. And for whatever reason, I moved on. And then I had a blip here in scheduling. And I thought, I remember this person caused such a curiosity in me. So we are so fortunate to have her here with us today. And I will just say as an aside of gratitude, she's actually really sick today. So I bless her a million times over for still showing up for all of us for this program. It is Dr. Andrea Ramos, PhD, and she is a very powerful evidential medium, renowned for her ability to connect with those who have crossed over. Combining her profound spiritual gifts with her expertise as a nurse and mental health clinician, she specializes in functional medicine and trauma-based therapy, offering this unique blend of medical, social, and spiritual healing. And in addition to providing transformative guidance and deep emotional healing, Andrea is dedicated to investigative casework, assisting in cold cases through her mediumship abilities. Her work affirms the continuousness of life beyond this realm and also brings us clarity, closure, and hope to those who are seeking answers. Her website, if you want to learn more, is thenursemedium.com. And with that, I welcome Andrea to Dare to Dream. It is so great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So your name, Andrea, Andrea, which is it?
Well, I actually giggle about that because if you come from upstate New York where I'm from, it's Andrea with that twang. But husband actually has a Latin background, so he calls me Andrea, so it kind of rolls off the tongue. So I will go with whatever anybody wishes to call me.
Yeah, I realized as I was saying your name, and I said it both ways, and I thought that's so interesting. I have a dog named Cassandra. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody meets her while we're going for a walk, they laugh at her name. They think it is so cute, this very like Cassandra name. And every so often someone will go, oh, really? It's Cassandra. And it's like, no, it's not quite, but thank you. But it's got the same elements as your name. And I love how your husband says your name. That's very romantic.
So do I.
Yeah, you know, so amazing what you do and what you offer. And I guess just reading your bio, right? A lot comes up, a lot of curiosity about your work. So let's start with some basics. Mm-hmm. Here you are, a nurse, big background in nursing. How does that influence your approach to this other gift you have as a medium?
Well, funny enough, I actually grew up with Crohn's disease. So I was in and out of hospitals my whole entire life. But I grew up in a family that was, you know, the mom was Catholic, dad was Jewish. So we know how that looks when it comes to anything, when it comes to mediumship, right? So that being said, I just had this feeling that there was more to this. And I just kept going back and forth saying, you know, I really want to be a healer, but in what way? So dove into nursing school, fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. But on that journey, I would be experiencing things that didn't quite make sense at the time, but yet they did, if that makes sense. So I would be in front of a patient and I would just know all the things like vitamin B deficiencies, or, you know, that this person had cancer before they even went back to the operating room, or just things would just continuously come up for me, or even things like zinc deficiency, just all sorts of things. So I knew that there had to be more to this, or I would actually know. And I say fortunately and unfortunately, when I was working oncology, when a patient would, that would be the last time I would see them. So meaning that I knew that as they exited, and they used to tease that I, they would consider me the angel of death at work, as terrible as it sounds, because they would say, if it, you, I would just know. And, but it was a beauty in a sense, because to me, both birth and death is an honor, and especially to be a part of that. So as a nurse, I got to be a part of both of those things, and to be able to bridge that gap between like the science and the so to speak woo-woo that some people think that it is, it's science, right? We have to marry the two because they both play such an integral role in mediumship as well as, the foundation of where we live in this earth body.
And cold cases? Oh my goodness. So how do you do cold cases and who do you work with?
So really, I try to narrow this down to only deputies, basically, if they come to me, because it's very easy for family members to come to me. And but you never know. You don't want to veer anybody in any which way direction, or hey, how did she know that, right? So that was a little bit hard to do at first. But recently, actually, I had somebody come up to me about something that happened in Arizona, for instance, when I was there, and they were, concerned about somebody that was missing. And this person came up to me and says, hey, do you have a little insight into this? And they ended up finding that person where I had said. And this had happened actually recently here too, a couple years ago. My son's dad reached out to me. They had a friend that went missing, and they were like, can you connect to this person? And she was in between two worlds. She wasn't going to live long. I could tell that. And I was able to connect with her. And fortunately enough, they did find her, but they did not find her alive. So it's a double-edged sword when we do those things, but to give any family any kind of closure, I feel that that's so important.
I would
So
think that's
important.
huge. Absolutely. Everybody can be at rest, at least knowing one way or the other what exactly has happened to this person that they love. And I'm sure at some level are holding out hope so it helps them move on. That's amazing work you do. Really amazing work. And so you meet somebody or somebody has a session and you start receiving all this information about them medically, which is really pretty cool. And then where does the mediumship portion come in?
So I always tell people when they come in for a reading of any sorts, whether it's, they want medical, past life, this life, anything galactic, whatever it may be, right? Or they just wish to connect to their loved ones that have crossed over. I tell them, think of it as an open house. You can't have an open house and lock the front door, because, we do get people that come to us and are just like, well, we're just going to test the waters. We don't know if we're believers or not. And that's fine. I encourage that, right? Because I would love for them to experience the other side. But I tell them, think of it as an open house. Can't lock that front door, because your guide will be there, your loved ones will be there, but they'll be standing here. They're going to acknowledge themselves, but we really want to call in their energy, because really the way that we do this, some people call it a gift, but I call it a gift and an ability, because everybody has the opportunity to be intuitive. It's just a matter of showing up and tapping into that, right? So just as we speak words, we call in the energy of our loved ones that have crossed over, or we call in the energy of what we need. So when, as they're sitting in front of me, I'll say, call in what it is that you need, not out loud, but just really call the energy of it in, whether it's health related, whether it's, whatever that may be, or the person that you really wish to connect with, call their energy in, because all we're doing is calling back the energy field of it. Or just like I speak words, those waves go on forever, even when we stop hearing them, right? So we're calling it back in. And then I'm able to connect them to whether it be, their grandmother or their husband or whoever who's crossed over. And then I ask them to use me to be the conduit to deliver these messages of validation. Like I a lot of times I'll ask spirit, I'll say, hey, you know what? I call them in before the person comes, and I say, give me a message that only they would know, right? Give me some sort of validation, whether it's something they're wearing on them, or maybe it's a trip they took and where it was, or whatever it may be, so that they know that it's them, or a name. Names are great. Names are definitely great, because then they'll be like, oh, William's coming through, and they'll be like, what? So I love that for them, because I too have lost a husband. So I know what that feels like to go to somebody, and I have a ton of medium friends, because there's room for all of us, and I tell them all the time, I was like, it was such a gift to have that closure from being able to talk to my husband from the other side, that I love that to gift that to somebody as well.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting in your story that one of your partners was a first responder. And then I thought, I wonder if that's part of my connection with you, because my brother, who was a composer, like a very, very successful musical composer, just also fell in love with firefighting. And he bridged both worlds, which is kind of amazing, but he did. And so, yeah, he worked his way all the way up to lieutenant. Now he has a podcast, which is called First Responder, and does very, very well. He's got sponsors and all sorts of stuff. And I just wondered if, reading and hearing more about your story, oh, I wonder if there's some connection there as well.
I'm sure Mark tends to bridge me to people that are interconnected with people that are it's the oddest thing. Like even when he brings in another firefighter that maybe has crossed or there's a family member that's connected, a lot of times Mark will be the one that brings them forward. So it's interesting how we still have such a powerful connection in that, that divine energy world versus even the world that we had when we were so divinely connected here on the earth realm too.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah,
And
thank you.
you said when you were just explaining the way you receive information and what is possible, you mentioned also galactic. So can you explain that? What do you get galactically for people?
So it's interesting because that's a frequency that I've more so, I mean, I've always been attuned, but never really as attuned until more recent, believe it or not. Sedona, Arizona has a way of doing that to me, and I don't know if that's for a lot of people from what I hear, but every time I'm there, it's just like there's some sort of growth and some sort of frequency. And even recently, I was just at a meditation and somebody played an instrument that hit a different frequency for me, and it really tapped me into more of an ET galactic frequency, and did a reading recently for somebody who was really tapped into that as well. And I feel like that just happens as we evolve too. It just depends either we're already tapped into that frequency, or as we're evolving, we tap more and more into it. And for me, I've just been learning so much from that frequency that I mean, I've always had a belief system that there was definitely people other than us out there. There has to be, right? So it was just interesting to have that energy and these new downloads that have been coming through that have really tapped me more so into that energy. But it is a little bit newer for me, the more galactic side. I have come into this world as a star seed, so I appreciate you doing your podcast on star seeds because it's just we come back and we travel. We're from all these other planets. We have Lemuria, Pleiades, like there's a bunch of places that we come back from, and they all pull in these different energy fields and different frequencies. And as I said, as we start to evolve, sometimes we get a little bit, life gets a little convoluted when we're trying to bring in the old galactic knowledge, past life knowledge, and we're trying to blend it with the knowledge of being here in the now. And sometimes that can make things, I call it turbulent for people. It's like being on the turbulent plane, right? We know we're going to land. It's up to us whether we decide to crash land or whether we decide to glide in, right? So it's really just being able to tune into those different frequencies and better understand them and ask them about it, right? When we tap into the galactic energy, we can ask that energy what it's there for. Why are you there? What are you trying to teach me? Until we ask, we're not going to be able to tap in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering, have you ever found when that becomes present, that galactic information, that there's answers there for somebody about their health or situation that's really germane to moving them forward?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in that because I feel that there are so many things within our DNA sequence that we know that there's drugs here that can alter those things, right? We have RNA and all these things that have come up, especially when we talk about like the taboo topics about, COVID and all the things I won't dive into. But, we definitely know that we can alter it, but we can alter it with energy too. So when we get those downloads at that galactic level, I've seen some pretty interesting things where they've actually utilized me and my hands and my energy waves to move things, or to be able to give the download of saying, like you scanning them, whether it be in like a theta state, or a lot of times just kind of it's almost like I go into that person and kind of scan through and say, okay, what is it that's off here? What's moving? Or I'll actually have a loved one come through and say, hey, did you recently have this health ailment connecting to your heart? Because this is what I'm seeing. And they'll be like, whoa, yes, I did. So they're aware of it too. So we have two different frequencies, but I feel like this galactic energy is such a healing energy that can really help us on this earth realm. Heal a lot of things, change DNA sequences. It's definitely there. I feel like they're almost way more advanced than we even are here in this earth
Way.
realm by
Absolutely.
magnitude.
Yes, I love what you're saying so much because many of us, and absolutely myself included, have said, oh, I just wish I could get into a med bed because we are aware that there are advanced civilizations and they don't go through what we do physically, the density here, the diseases, the issues, and all of that. And they have the ability, and occasionally, rarely, they will do it for a human that they bring aboard a ship and they will put them in a med bed. I mean, I've heard extraordinary stories about this, and something will come about and it will be pointed at where the issue is. I've even heard an amazing story about an old bullet wound that caused great issues for this particular gentleman being healed, done, gone from a med bed. So when I hear you say this, even though the med beds are not yet here, to my knowledge, that you have the ability to bridge that for us and bring some of that in, I think that's profound.
It's a scary walk to walk though, right? With having the credentials that I have. And for a long time, I didn't want to tell people that I had some of these abilities because there's the mediumship again, and then we have the healthcare aspect of it. And to me, again, my goal in this lifetime is to bridge that gap. Because it's so beneficial to so many people. People feel that energy. They know, that it exists, but some people are afraid of that. Just like I was afraid to come out of the closet, so to speak, and say, like, hey, I'm both. I can do both. But I also open up the opportunity for people. We can give them the education and then let them allow themselves to make those educated decisions if you want, but I feel like both plays a role anyway. Like it just kind of just comes in, whether it's asked for, so to speak.
And when you talk about education, do you also get the solution? Like, oh, I can see this, this, and this is going on. Here's what actually needs to happen for you to go to the other side. Because they say every problem inherently has a solution embedded in it.
Oh, absolutely. Like it's so interesting, for not, sharing too much patient information, but I've had patients come in and say that they were having because the emotional affects the physical and the physical affects the emotional. Same thing with spiritual. Like think about like old soul contracts that we have that we hang on to and we keep coming back with these same things and we revisit these people and it can be, quite traumatic experiences that we have and how do we heal that, right? So I will use my late husband as an example. We had known each other in many, many past lives, and he'd always passed early on in every single past life. And we both said that we both, and initially he actually thought that psychic mediums were charlatans. But he was just such a cute, good-looking firefighter that I was like, I'll just keep my mouth shut. But then in the end, as things were coming up and I started sharing these things with him, I was like, you know what? Let's go do this for a certain therapy. Like, and to the point where like fentanyl patches weren't working for his pain, but yet I had somebody come over and do healing work on him and he was able to sleep. He was pain-free. And so he really started to dive into this later in towards the end and just really knew what was happening. But I also knew. So I knew what to do in certain circumstances, when to like put my hands in certain places. For instance, the day he passed, I knew he was going to pass. I opened up the windows. I knew I bathed him and, prepared him for the other side because I knew that this was the day. This was what he was supposed to be prepared for, but it is interesting when working with certain patients, just knowing and hearing things as they're speaking to me, it's almost like I'm taking this all in and I'm like, okay, you have to have like this lab, and this lab checked. And I'm guaranteed that this is what it really is. And if for some reason it's not, I think I know how to go about it this way instead. And it really plays a huge role when we're dealing with people with trauma, because again, it affects both sides, your spiritual side and your earth body.
Yeah. Wow. How beautiful to show up for another human being. I have some of that gift too, where I know when someone's going to die. I've known since, gosh, probably my whole life, but certainly I'm aware of it since probably my early 30s. And I do consider it a huge gift because of the choices I've been able to make. You know, when my grandfather was going to, I knew immediately when he got cancer, oh my God, he's not going to make it. Wow. And by all accounts, he should have. He should have been fine, but he didn't. And I was very fortunate that I spent weeks with him, living with him and my grandmother before he passed. I feel super blessed around that.
Oh,
And, you know, same
definitely.
with my grandmother and so on and so forth. And yeah, it's good information because you can make choices based on what you know, right? You can make a choice about how you want to be there for whatever time that person has left and whatever type of relationship you have with them that you want to honor. And if you're not close, like right now, there's somebody in my life I started to have this awareness about who's a colleague. So it's certainly nothing I'd ever say to them, but I'm aware and I confided in somebody because it felt better, you know, to be able to say that. Also to them, you know, they have choice to say, I just so you know, I'm pretty clear this person maybe within a year is going to make a different choice about being here. And so, yeah, it's an
It's a
interesting
double-edged
gift.
sword for sure. I always say that it is definitely a double-edged sword, but sometimes through these experiences, I know not to bring Mark up again, but we really learned how to live through his passing, and we got to experience a new way of living that I'm still doing even outside of that relationship now, and really just moving through life in a very different way. And I feel like we're so blessed to have those experiences, as hard as they can be, you know. And being able to connect to both realms, even, you know, even now, it's, I don't know that that makes it much easier, you know, but in some ways it does.
Yeah. You know, it's so beautiful what you do and so beautiful how you were there for Mark and obviously so many people. And somebody was just asking me. I have people who come to me like I'm a depot and say, "Do you know somebody who does this?" You know, and often I do. So I can point them in the right direction. And somebody was just saying, "Do you know a medical intuitive?" Because they have cancer. They're super tired of their situation. They're tired of the limitation, if you will, of Western medicine. They're tired of all the healers they've been to and the many alternative therapies that they've been trying. And they're financially and emotionally tired of being in this situation. So let's talk a little bit deeper, thinking of this person in this moment, not asking you to tap in, because I don't know that you could unless they were here. But how do you perceive and interpret the energetic signatures of these physical ailments during your medical intuitive readings? Talk about what that's like.
Well, it's interesting, as we were talking about earlier about blending the old knowledge with the new knowledge. A lot of times I get this information of like plant-based things or different medicines that are like, you know, plant-based medicine a lot of times too, in different forms. And so it's interesting. When the person is there, I tend to like scan them and go in and say, okay, is this an end of life thing? If it is, what path do we have to take? Do we make this as more palliative, so to speak, and just make them super comfortable to get through this process and make the transition a beautiful one? Or is this something that we can genuinely help with? You know, I was sitting in front of somebody and I had no idea what goji berries were. And I just remember working in oncology and sitting in front of this lady. And I just said to her, I said, "Have you ever heard of goji berries?" And she's like, "Oh my gosh." She's like, "I just bought some." And I was like, "I don't know." But I said, "I just," and I knew that she was very spiritually inclined, so to speak. And so we would have these dialogues. I mean, she was the one that, like, I would have, like, you know, crystals in my pocket. I would pass them out to my patients, the ones that I felt called to do so. But I just knew. And so I'd asked her and I said, "You know, this is something that I just am feeling that you should be eating." And I believe she had breast cancer and there was all these things. And then I kept hearing, like, "Tell her to stop taking the turmeric." And I was just like, "Why am I hearing this? Why am I hearing this?" Well, she was getting Adriamycin, which was this drug for breast cancer, and nothing was happening. And we were like, and I just kept hearing over and over again. I was woken out of a sound sleep. It was 2 in the morning, And I got online, I started doing research, and it turns out that high doses of turmeric negate the capabilities of the Adriamycin. And I went in and I said to her, I said, "Are you taking turmeric?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, I take tons of it." And I was just like, "You have to stop taking the turmeric." And I was like, "You take it after we're past this." And she was like, "How did you know?" And I was just like, "I don't know. I just did." And it was just things like that'll just happen, and it's just wild. Or if for some reason something's happening with like a family member, like, if my son gets sick or something to that nature, like it's just, I'm just told, like, "Hey, do this, maybe check this out before we make this choice." Like I was just telling my husband something this morning, and I said, "Check this out before we go this route, because even if you don't go that route, I need you to go this route and go check it out, because I really do feel that." And he's probably watching this laughing right now. But and I was like, "But I really feel like you need to go this route, because I still think it's okay, and it might actually change everything for you versus going this route." Now, we'll see what happens, but I was so dead set on it, and I just kept like, I'll have like almost like visions without seeing it outside. I call them like almost like downloads or visions within, if that makes sense.
Downloads or visions within. This is so huge what you're saying, because I love the story about the turmeric and about the other medications she's taking and the goji berries. Because interestingly enough, the person who asked me for the medical intuition and is on his own cancer journey is also doing goji berries. So there's something there.
There's something
But
there.
at the same time, I'm aware he's doing a ton of other things. And so the contradictions, I think, are huge. And I've often said, do one thing, stay with one thing, because how do you know what's working or what is actually counteracting the other? That is so important. And of course, I put turmeric in my coffee every morning. I put a whole thing, interesting stuff in my coffee for health reasons. And we all know, hopefully, that turmeric is an anti-inflammatory, amongst other things. So it's really great for arthritis and for, probably a
Absolutely.
lot of things that cause issues in a body. But then you think about something that healthy that should ostensibly only be healthy, but then there's something else trying to do good in the body, but it's being superseded by this natural alternative. So really important to get these things checked out before you just dive in to a buffet. I'll do a little of this, a little of that, hopefully it'll all work when it's put together, but it's not always the best recipe.
Correct. And it is, it's about blending the two worlds. And that's why I went more towards the functional side, because I passed my MCATs. I was going to go to medical school, and but something just kept telling me no. And they kept saying, "Go into nursing." Well, a lot of times people look at nursing as more the holistic side. And there was something that led me there. Now I know the answer, because I was supposed to go into the more functional side to kind of, be able to blend that gap or marry the two. And I giggle because I have a doctor's office that's right outside the window here, and they're very traditional medicine and everything. And I went over and I introduced myself and told them what I do, and of course it was like, oh, like taken back, like, "Oh no, yeah." And it's the witchcraft, but it was funny because I tried to explain to them that I'm not the enemy. I'm actually somebody who I'd love to co-collaborate with, because maybe some of the things that they're not as knowledgeable on, maybe there we can help the patients together versus pushing each other like two sides of a magnet in opposite directions, right? We should be part of the same collaboration, really, because I feel like Eastern or Western, or however you want to look at it, if we're willing to work together, then that's better for our patients. It's huge. That's how it should be, in my opinion.
So after they gasped and you explained more deeply what it is you do, where did they become interested?
A little bit, actually. He was just like, "So tell me more about what you do." So, and I started telling him that it's more so about finding the root cause versus peeling back all the layers. I said, because for any internal medicine, Think about how many times we go to the doctor. We only really go to the doctor if there's something wrong, right? But imagine the knowledge base behind finding the root cause and either preventing that, because there's still a great role for internal medicine, because we're eventually going to get sick, like me being sick today. But there's also other ways to go about things to either prevent from having to peel back that onion, I mean, and then have to get to the source again. And a lot of times, let's be real, that's really a lot of times why people come to me for mental health, is because we're peeling back the onion now at this point, So, and that's why I love doing talks, because it's about trying to get to the preventative portion of it versus getting, on the back end.
And Andrea, I'm sitting here laughing as you talk, and it just suddenly, I realized this morning when you emailed me and you were so sweet to say, "Hey, I'm sick, but I'm totally in, I'm doing this." And I went into nurse mode and I sent back to you, "Be sure to up your vitamin C, your zinc, your D. And if you haven't heard of it, go get Thieves. And this is how you take it." And I'm like, "Oh my God,"
I love
totally
it.
forgetting in that moment, you're already a medical professional. You know all this stuff.
No, but I love that, because a lot of times us as medical professionals, we are the worst patients, and we truly usually don't dive into the same things that, and we need that reminder, right? So no, I appreciate you giving me that reminder, because it's true. And I did, I brought my little lozenges and of elderberry and zinc and vitamin C and all of those things to keep me going.
Yeah, I was thinking we got to get her to Conscious Life Expo. She's got to be fine when she gets
I'm
on
gonna
the
be
plane.
there with bells on.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I would love to give the audience an experience of your brilliance. And so, you talk me us through this. What does, how would you take over here?
So the way that I would take over here would be to see about potentially doing some sort of reading, if you would be open to it. We could maybe do something along those lines and kind of see what comes forward and what comes through. Because the whole time we've been talking, I've felt a grandmother presence that was extremely strong. Now I know that we're flipped on the screen here, so a lot of times when I do things via Zoom, most times this is maternal side, this is paternal side for me. Okay, when I'm looking at somebody now, again, you're flipped, but I'm feeling more of a maternal grandmother that one wishes to come forward. At this time, she has passed, correct? Because she's showing me that she's crossed over. And then,
Yes.
but I also wanted to bring in, she's telling me this is definitely mom's side, but I'm hearing the word mom. So mom has not crossed over, though, correct? Or has mom crossed over?
She has.
She has. So she is, it's her. Okay. So just know that both of them then are coming forward, because I kept hearing the word mom, but the initial mom that I heard was mom's side of the family. So grandmother. And then now, is it you that shares the middle name to grandma then? Who shares the middle name to grandma?
No, I
Somebody's coming
don't.
forward that has a middle name that's tied to somebody, or they share the same name.
Oh my God, you know what? I'm so embarrassed that I don't remember her middle name.
No, that's okay. No, you're fine. This happens a lot, and then people text me later and it's just like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that.
I will
No,
find
you're
out.
totally
I'll
good.
ask my uncle.
Nope, you're totally good. I know that you and I, before the show, we were talking about the numbers 5. Is there a connection also to the month of May for you? Because they are showing me the number 5 and the connection to the month of May. So did either of them either pass or have a birthday in the month of May? They could be
No,
bringing somebody else forward though, too. So just can't tell you.
no birthdays in the month of May. I don't remember when my grandmother passed, and my mom definitely not in May.
No, that's
Although,
okay. Yeah, mom shook her head anyway. Okay. So, and then I'm also picking up like something in my throat, and then also my heart space, like this space right here. So who passed from the heart or lung? Because they are giving me like struggle to take a big deep breath too, right in here. But then I'm also feeling something here. So somebody was either intubated at time of death, or they were, who was intubated? Was this mom?
yeah.
Okay, I felt like this was mom, because she just kept going to my throat like I was intubated, like I want to take it out.
Yes.
She just keeps wanting to take. Did she actually try to take this out? Because she just keeps like
Yes.
taking, trying to take it out. She's like, I had. She did. She talk a lot when she was here, because she keeps telling me that she wants to, like, she did. That's
Yes.
like
So
a mile
much.
a minute. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. But she, mom's showing me, grandma, that you look a lot like your grandmother, actually, on mom's side. She shows me there's a strong resemblance there. Okay. Like they're showing me, like, there's a lot of, like, the eyes. She goes, mom keeps telling me that you have eyes like the Caribbean Sea. That's what she wanted me to say to you. She's like, my daughter, eyes like the Caribbean Sea. And she just wants to come forward because she said that there was, well, obviously, there's a lot left to say unsaid because their tube there, because she was like a very upset. But she also says that certain decisions needed to be made, and that she wanted you to know that the decisions that were made at the time of her passing, did you actually have to, I hate to ask you, like, on air, but did you
Okay.
actually have to make the choice to let her go? Because she's showing me that, like, you had to make this choice, okay? And she says that you made the right choice because she would have made it for herself anyway.
Oh, okay.
She goes, just know that I would have made the choice anyways, okay? She's so, there's so much energy though. Like, was mom into this, or was, because I'm seeing, I'm also, or maybe grandma, okay, because grandma's going to my necklace though. Was grandma the one that was of a strong faith? Because when they go to my necklace, this is somebody of a strong faith. But then I'm also picking up on mom saying that, like, she was a big believer in, like, all of this, because she's like, so this must have been grandma. Do you know of grandma's faith?
Well, yeah, she that would have been Jewish faith, and
Oh,
then
okay.
my mother, in particular, was very. She was pretty cool. There was a lot of
Yeah.
she believed in past lives,
Oh
and
yeah. This is right up her alley. She's so excited. She wants me to bring out my deck. I brought out a deck, which is so funny because I really don't use the deck. She's like, I bring out your Citadel deck. She's telling me, she's like, bring out the deck and, like, do all the things. And she's cracking me up. And she said she, well, because I grew up mostly Jewish. I mean, my mom was Catholic, but they're like all like, so the fact that you said something about this is probably what they were trying to show me, is that we're of the same religion.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So she was, but she does want, she's now, did, and I know this might sound really weird, but did you just get a new car, or are you about to get a new car? Because she's talking about, she's aware of the new car.
Okay, that's super interesting. I have a new car from what she knows, but it's why I say this is very interesting because I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who brought up some kind of information about a Tesla. And the thing they were talking about, and my response was, I want to look into that. I want to find out. And they were like, why would you get a new car? Like, you have this Lexus and that's fairly new. But it was very intriguing. And
Your
I
mom knows all about it. She's like, she was all part of, like, the dialogue. Like, she was, like, totally part of this dialogue. Mom's also bringing me to, like, almost like Caribbean Sea type water, almost like the color of your necklace. And I don't know what the connection there would be, but she keeps bringing me to that space. This is the space that either when they bring me to something like that, this would be something that they either really enjoyed being or going back to, or somewhere where you're about to go. Okay.
Okay, I know it. So my mom lived in Santa Monica. She insisted to live near the beach. And when just recently, just a couple of months ago, because she passed last year, I said it's time. It's time to release her ashes. And so we
Oh, I
made
got chilies.
a point to go to the beach. And we did this whole ritual and ceremony because she loved it there more than any other place. So I spread her ashes in the ocean.
Did you do flowers or something? She's showing me, like, a flower, like, almost like, I don't want to call it a bouquet, but almost like something that was set up with flowers. She's showing me that, like, went into the ocean, like, kind of floated off. Okay. She did want me to
Yes.
show you that. She was very aware of it. She keeps drawing big hearts in the sand. I don't know if you guys actually did that, or if that she, like, just, or if this is just her showing me this, but she's very aware of it. Okay. She just wanted me to show you that as well. Do you also have a brother? Why is she showing me a male?
Yeah,
Okay.
I do. I
Because
have a
she
brother.
wanted me to show, she wants to bring him up. Is he really not into all this very much? Like, he doesn't quite understand it, because she says that you guys are a little bit opposite in to a, to, like, she showed me, like, polar opposites. Okay. However, there's so much, she's like, there's just so much knowledge, just let it be, like, let it be. She's like cracking up, and but it's not that he doesn't, like, hear you. Like, he hears you, he sees it, but he just can't, it's not tangible to him. She says, unless it could become tangible, he just kind of maybe just doesn't quite get it. But to mom, she's like, yeah. No, she's really funny. She just wanted me to let you know that and dad's still living, correct?
He is.
Because she's showing me him here. Because she's been going to visit him, but she says that might surprise you.
Yes.
But why would she say that? Okay, because she's like, just let her know that I visit dad because he's still here. But she goes, but this would surprise her. And I was like, okay, I'll share that with her. I'll honor that. But she's been visiting him like a lot. Is he coming up on a move or something, or has there been talk around him being moved?
I do not know. He's
Okay.
someone who chooses not to have a relationship with me, so I
Yeah.
don't know. And it
Okay.
does surprise me that she visits him, but how very kind and forgiving of her, because they're divorced. I mean, they got divorced
Very
before
ugly,
the
she said. She like washed her hands of it in this lifetime, but she does go back now. She does say that he's learned a lot of lessons in this last leg of his life, okay?
That's
But
good.
she's bridging gaps and she's like shedding old skin. She's shedding off a lot of old soul contracts with him, and I think that's why she keeps coming back to visit to
So
make sure
good.
that things are like healthy and whole. Because she is showing that. Who has the two? Did she have two grandkids now or something? She's bringing up that she would
Yeah.
have two. Okay, because she wanted me to bring that up as well. Now, are these yours or your brother's?
My brothers.
That's what I thought. Okay, because she was like, because I'm like, I wasn't picking up like around you. I was picking up around him. So she wants to acknowledge that she goes with, is this a boy and a girl?
It is.
Okay, because she just kept saying that she like does little figure eights around them. Like she's very aware, she's very proud. She's very proud, but she keeps showing me feathers. Now, and I don't know why, but she's showing me feathers a lot. Like I almost want to go get the fan that I have over there. It's like a smudging fan, but it's feathers. And I don't know what the connection would be to that. I almost want to, it's almost like turkey feathers, I think, is what I'm seeing. So why would she be showing me that?
Oof. I mean,
Aw.
I
Trying to make
know.
you cry on air. I'm sorry.
That's pretty deep.
Oh, love.
Yeah, it's very nice, you know. So from a young age, I taught my dog, well, my first dog, Shelby, who's still with me, and she's here right here.
Oh, she has a dog with her, though. So know that there's two actually that mom has with her. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but mom says, let her know I have two dogs with me.
Yeah, so Shelby, who she knew very well and is still here, I taught her, and then now I've taught the other dog that's with us too, Cassandra, that when we take a walk and we see a feather, that it's an angel, and an angel's just letting itself be known. And so it's actually a funny thing. So the dogs pick up the feathers and we always bring them home. I have the most unbelievable
Oh.
collection of feathers, not just from here in California where I live, but even when we went to England and we picked up feathers, and recently in the Yucatan, we picked up feathers. And also, I spoke in Glastonbury and I decided to go in a store because I do shamanic work, and I bought turkey feathers. And we made a shamanic,
Yes, the fan.
I have
Oh.
it, I'll show you. I have it right here, and
It's
it's
so funny. I should show you the one that she kept pointing to in my office here. I was like, yes. Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. So I'm going to show you what
beautiful.
she's pointing to. That's insane. Hang on, I'm
Yeah.
going to show you what she wanted me to show you as well,
And
because
so
she
I'll
kept
just
saying, look at
explain while
this.
she goes that these are the turkey feathers from Glastonbury. These are turkey feathers that we and the dogs picked up. I used, this is a stick from our tangerine tree. So everything means something.
Wow.
And then it's wrapped in leather. And then these are jade, green jade. And just to finish this piece of the shamanic thing. So I also have much grander, much bigger. I can show you. Well, I'll show you because this is amazing. So I already lost one of these, but how did I lose it? Because the girls think, you know, anytime I do a Mesa spread or anything, there's feathers on it because it has meaning for when I do healing work. And the girls pick up the feathers off my Mesa and take it, and they chew it. And I'm like, no. There's feathers that are the angels and there's feathers for healing. But
Yes.
so they even started in on this one, and I have to rescue these. And I've told this story from stage because it's so hilarious. I did the feather story with them for good, but now they come to my healing stuff
Oh.
and try to dismantle them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she just kept going to this, and that's funny because there's an antler and there's like the feathers, and she kept pointing to this, going, "You need to go get that and show her." And I was like, I'm not getting up. No.
It's amazing. We had to get up. That was a
Oh,
had
I
to.
love that. I love that so much. No, she's so aware of it. She's also bringing up a lot of Native American stuff. Okay, she's bringing up a lot of Native American land. Are you tapped into like Native American? I know you say you did shamanic work, because she's showing me a couple different things. I don't know what your formal background is, but she is showing me that like your, I like to call it the witchy side of us, does stem from a more of a Celtic background than it does. And she just keeps bringing me there for lineage, like past life lineage, and then bringing in that new knowledge. But did, I don't know where you were recently that had Native American ground, because she just keeps taking me to like Native American ground and you really tapping into that energy. Or, and did you start drumming or something? Why is she showing me drumming?
Oh, I definitely drum, absolutely. I took one of her drums once upon a time. It just wasn't in good shape. And I still have her rattle. But yes, I mean, when I started getting into all this, and it was very confusing at the time because the divine is the one who led me on this path, I didn't understand it. And I was gifted with some past life regressions. And the first one I saw myself as a Native American male. And
Yes.
then way further on, after all the Peruvian mostly lineage that I've worked with shamans to teach me a lot of what I do today. I do speak, even on Gaia TV when I was interviewed recently, I talk about the Hopis. I talk about the Navajo. I talk about the native elders because they have wisdom. They don't come from here. You know, they come from the stars and all of that. So I bring them in and I feel this incredible passion for the indigenous.
No, you can feel it. They're definitely within your system. Like they're definitely feeding you the knowledge and doing what you're doing. Your mom is hilarious because she kept pinpointing all the things in my studio that you can't even see her, like rain sticks and things. And she's like,
Oh,
it's almost like she
yes.
loves the instrumentals. Like that's what she keeps showing me is like, I love instrumentals. Like she, but it was strictly those, like she, like this like right here. She wanted me to go to this. She wants, she, like I have a rattle and a drum over here. And she just wants me to go to all the things. She loves noise, she said. She likes to make a lot of noise. She did want me to bring, like, okay, so where you live, is there like a front porch light? Because she keeps showing me a light like by the front door. Does this keep going on and off or something? Or have you, did you recently have an issue with it? Because she keeps messing with the front light. She keeps saying that there's like something with the light that keeps going on and off.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, pay attention to it if it does, because she keeps showing me that, or that, or it may need to be replaced soon. She's talking about it like right by the front, like the front entry. Okay, so if it doesn't for some reason work or something, I don't know why, she's talking about something to do with your front entry. Or did you recently change something in your front entry too? Because she keeps walking up to like your front door and standing there.
Well, with plants, always, you know, and then we added a Ganesha statue, and I mean, I'm always adding stuff to the landscaping.
Yeah, she just keeps going up there, like right to like the front entry for some reason. That's where she keeps wanting me to go, is like right up to the front door. She's like, she loves that space. She just keeps continuously going to that space for some reason. So I don't know why, if it's like, you know, very, she just finds it very pleasant in that area. Okay. She also is bringing me a cup in my hand, but I'm not, I don't feel like this is like coffee, like there's, but she keeps putting something in like a cup, like it looks like a coffee cup, but she just keeps holding it and it's like steaming. So I know it's hot, but she just, but she's not saying the word coffee. She's just showing me what looks like a big coffee mug. This would not be like cacao or anything like that. You don't do like cacao ceremonies or anything like that. She just keeps showing me, like, it doesn't look like coffee to me. It almost looks like mud.
Well, that's what I was thinking while you said that. I'm guessing it's ayahuasca.
Okay, because it was like, I'm just looking at this going, this doesn't look like it. It doesn't smell like it. I'm like, what is this? And she just keeps bringing it like a gift to me. So that would make sense that it could be something along those lines. But I won't lie to you. I'm not getting a hard yes or no as to if that's what it is. But she's just kept showing it to me, almost like a mud.
That makes sense. You know, I have done a considerable amount of plant medicine, and then I was complete. And I really just, you know, when I was done, I was done. And then last year, out of nowhere, I heard Grandmother Ayahuasca say, I want you to come sit with me. And I went into total assumption and I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get all these shamanic downloads. Like,
Famous letter.
so I arranged for a weekend to go sit with grandmother, and none of that happened. All of my assumptions were absolutely incorrect. But What grandmother ayahuasca did do is work on my relationship with my mother. Oh, it was long and it was so long. And I got exhausted and I had to call over the shaman at some point and say, hey, I think I'm getting this, but it's not stopping. And he just said to me, when you fully surrender to what you are receiving, then it will be complete. And I thought, okay, I can be with that. So bring it. And I just stayed for all of what it was. And when that weekend was complete, a week and a half later, my mother's health completely changed. And I was so grateful because if it was not for ayahuasca, I felt it was so loving to give me that gift of completely cleaning and clearing my relationship with my mother so that when she was ready to pass shortly thereafter, I was ready. I was completely ready. And how I was able to show up for her as a shaman, as a healer, really aware and really hopefully assisting her,
I
to
was going
cross.
to say that she really talks about how you helped her with her transition to the other side, like not just by the decisions that you had to make, but literally helping her and assisting in that journey and that leg of her journey. And she's very aware, very grateful for that, because even things that her knowledge, she says, didn't wasn't she wouldn't have been able to make that transition on her own, even with her own knowledge.
Yeah, definitely. I think she was sticking around here. And that's why I had to make a really hard decision at the end. My decision was to stop seeing her because I was going and going. And I mean, I read and sang Jewish songs over her. She was a musician, which is why she's pointing out the instruments. And also, I have her rain stick, which is why she gave you that.
Oh,
So
no
I
way.
did that. I brought letters from everyone in the family and read them over her. Rob and I, he plays guitar and I sing and I did music over her. I did a whole shamanic ritual. I realized she's not drinking anymore. She's not eating. She has nothing going in, but she's hanging on. And I didn't want her to suffer. And I just got this information. You need to stop seeing her because she'll stay there for you out of love. And it was hard. Right, but I didn't go. And then within the week, she passed.
Well, she said she also didn't want people there as a part, it was dignity for her. She said, this was a form of my dignity. And by not having a bunch of people there, it helped me pass with dignity. So she really appreciates you understanding that and being aware of that, because she didn't really want anybody there at the bitter end. She really just wanted to be able to make that transition. And she said it was very peaceful. This was not a hard transition for her. Okay. So she did. She said when she was able to take that big deep breath, she goes, it was like I was able to just take a big deep breath and step over. And I was like, oh, that felt good. She's very funny. She's dressed in like a very flowy dress. Like I feel like it's just very flowy. Like she's just, yeah, she's living in her best goddess life that she would have loved to have done, like a gypsy. She goes, she would have been happiest as a gypsy.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's definitely around you a lot though. Like I feel like a lot of her energy seeps in when you're doing a lot of your healing work. A lot of the healing work. I know that you had mentioned in the beginning of the show, so I do know that you're connected to a lot of galactic energies too. Did you know that your parents were from two completely different planets as well? Because they're showing me completely different planets, like day and night difference. However, that was for your benefit. They were like, for your benefit, because you have all these different healing ailments that you're able to use and elements that you're able to use in this earth plane because of the different connections that you have. Mom is, I don't know how much you want me to say, but like mom's also telling me too, did you actually have a ship experience? Because she's showing me like you being like brought somewhere, okay, and then being put back with new knowledge, like literally like leaving, being brought over there, and then coming back. Are you aware that this happened, or is this something that she's seeing?
Oh, yeah, I'm not aware. I'm thrilled to hear it. And I'm also not surprised. I've wondered a lot of things that have happened that I wasn't cognizant of because it's been kind of massive, all of this in my space.
Sure. No, they do. They show me you being like taken and brought back. But I feel that when this happened, that you were mind altered anyway. They are showing me that there was like a mind, so that a lot of times that can happen during like plant medicine and things like that. But they did say that there was mind altering that happened during that. Mom does want to go back and apologize too. She wanted me to give you some apologies, okay? She did want me to talk about that because there were some things that happened childhood that she's not proud of, okay? She did want me to go back and let you know that she's cleared that, but also you've helped her clear that along the way, okay? I know that you mentioned about the ayahuasca and stuff, but she said even before that you were helping clear that energy for like so long. Like, you know that topic of like it ends with me, like it stops here. Like, you've definitely broken that family barrier or that chain, so that's not continuing to happen moving forward. So know that. She says she thanks you for that. So does your grandmother and the grandmother above her. I am having a dad's mom wants to come forward and a grandfather. Was his grandfather the one in the military, or do you not know?
His grandfather was killed in a concentration camp.
Okay, that's why I'm seeing militaries everywhere, military everywhere. Okay, because I just kept seeing military like around, like everywhere. So that's why that makes a lot of sense as to why I'm seeing this. He was young. He shows me he was very young. Okay, I don't know how young, but he shows me he was young. He's not giving me a verb like an. I keep asking him for a number. I'm like, what's the number? He does want to show me the number 22. So I don't know what 22 would mean to anybody, but he does keep showing me 22.
It's so funny because I don't even know if this is connected, but I teach about animal spirit medicine. And when it comes to the llama, the llama, the alpaca, it has many lessons for us. And one of the lessons is it won't take any weight over 22 kilos or 44 pounds. So I teach this to ask people that I'm working with. What are you overtaking, overgiving? That's over your 22 kilos, right? So.
Yeah, he just kept showing me the number 22, but I didn't know what the connection was at all. Like, I was just like, why is she? And because I asked him, I was like, did you die at age 22? He's like, no. And I was just like, so I couldn't pinpoint, but I don't know if that's the connection or not. But he was just kept showing me the number 22, like over and over and over again. And then he keeps showing me some, who was like the person who was in law enforcement in your family? You said somebody earlier was a connection to like first responders, but was there also somebody connected to law enforcement, as in like a cop or sheriff or some sort like that? Because why is he showing me badges now?
No,
My brother is the one that's in the fire department, correct?
was yes.
That could be who he's showing me because they too have badges. He just keeps wanting me to bring up the person that's like in, but he keeps saying law enforcement, but I'm wondering if he means your brother. And I keep asking him, but he just keeps talking so fast. Because he keeps, but is he still in firefighting or is he more of like administrative role now? Because he keeps showing me like administration.
Yeah, well, he worked his way all the way up very quickly to lieutenant. And
Okay.
then he retired as a lieutenant to go do what he, just give
Okay.
himself a lot of time. But he keeps that whole thing he loves so much that his podcast is called, my brother's podcast is called First Responder. So he
That's
does
probably
bring
why.
people in law enforcement and from a fire background onto the show.
That's why. Because he kept showing me, like, because I kept going over here and I kept seeing a badge over here. Like, and there's a book that has a badge on it. And he kept talking about law enforcement, though. So that could be what he's acknowledging is that, because he just keeps bringing up law enforcement in general. But again, I'm not getting a solid on that. He just wanted to bring, like, make that aware. And your brother doesn't share the same name as him, right? Who does your brother share the same name as? Because he keeps
Oh,
sharing
that's
names.
so interesting. I almost said no, but you know what he does because his my brother's middle name is Arye, which means lion, and my grandfather's name was Leo.
Oh, no way. That's crazy. Yeah, because he just kept saying that he kept pairing up the two together like that. And I was just like, there's like a similarity in name or same name comparison there. Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. That's crazy. Yeah, that's very, very wild. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, mom keeps showing you up on stages as well. So are you, do you do a lot of speaking on stages as well? Because she keeps showing me stages, not just in front, like how we are. She keeps showing me like larger stage. Is this becoming more and more? Because she keeps talking about like this is like Like this, like she keeps like expanding, like things just keep expanding. Like they just when you think, okay, I can't do much more, they're like, ha, that's funny. Here we go. Like, and she just keeps getting bigger.
That's so accurate, 1,000%. I mean, my life exploded in the best possible way. It was a very overwhelming for me in the beginning because I'd always been
Sure.
reticent. Let me just shine the spotlight on somebody else, but the universe was not having it. And they opened doors. I've done nothing on my behalf, but I have said yes. And then when I thought, exactly when I thought, oh, this is the container, it couldn't possibly get any more amazing and
Right.
wonderful, more came and more, and it's continuing. Continuing, blowing my mind.
Oh,
Now
yeah.
it's
She said
getting into
it
like
gets
not
big.
just speaking on stage with incredible, really people I've always looked up to, but now people I look up to are coming to me and wanting to do retreats and things. And I'm,
I love that.
ah.
I love that for you. No, there's so much more expansion. So be ready. Be ready, sister, because mom's like, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It is. I want to bring up one more thing before they close the circle, but are you going to Hawaii soon, or was there just a trip to Hawaii? Why is she bringing me to like Hawaii or somewhere that's like big like that, like Hawaii or Philippines? Like she keeps just bringing me to like that space.
No, not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge, but maybe for some of these retreats, you
I would
know.
not be surprised. You'll have to let me know, but I feel like this is going to come soon. Okay. So pay attention to that. If all of a sudden Hawaii or Philippines or something to that nature comes up,
That's
because
interesting.
I'm picking up, there's going to be like, it's very tropical space. Okay.
I have
So you're
two
going to
friends
need,
also who are moving to Thailand, so.
there we go. Okay. Yeah. She just kept bringing up like that kind of space. Like, but I feel like you're going to be present there. This isn't just about them
That'll
moving.
be
This is like
awesome.
you going.
That's
Okay.
on my bucket list, so I
Yeah.
would not be sad.
Right. No, because she's definitely showing me a lot of that. No, she's such a loving soul. Like, I don't know if that's how she was when she was here, but she's very loving now. And because she even kind of said that too. She's like, I wasn't always the most loving soul, but like to everybody else, not as much to my family, is what she said.
Oh, honey, that is 1,000. If you needed evidence, thank you.
Of course.
Because that is painfully very accurate. I mean, it doesn't bring up anything emotionally because I have done a ton of work. I'm clean, I'm clear, and neutral. And it is incredibly accurate. And it was always, there were many things that were very interesting about my mother and confusing. And she certainly gave me a lot to work with this
She did.
lifetime. And I do accept her apology and I'm grateful for the apology. And yes, she was magnificent to other people
Oh,
and
yeah.
not so much to her family. So I'm glad she knows that. And if she knows that, that means she can make other choices. That's really all I've ever wanted for her is to be happy and to know that going forward from this space, as she's reconnected to her soul and source, she can make amazing choices going forward. She never has to repeat what she did here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She's mystified by all of like the love and that you share outwards though, because she says that you are this phenomenal, like she says, like a mother. She's like this phenomenal person. And she goes that she, if anything, she's learning from you the same way you're learning from the things that she did not do. And it's really just everything is kind of coming full circle. I love that for the two of you. I
I
really
love
do.
that too. I'm born under Cancer, which is the sign of the mother. And I definitely have very nurturing tendencies. And I'm grateful for my dogs because I get to be a mom
Oh,
there. That
they're
was
the best.
beautiful.
Of course. Well,
That was
thank you. Thank
beautiful.
you for allowing me to channel for you on the whim. And I
You're the
thank mom
first
and everybody for
person,
coming
I just
over.
want to say, because I've not been open before to receiving from my mom. I don't know why. It's not like there's any stuff there, but it just kind of the idea made me nervous somehow. And so this, I guess it is perfection. It is divine. You're the first person. And I didn't even know my mom would come through, but that I'm so glad that I'm in this space that I'm able to receive all of that, what you just delivered. That was pretty cool. And the
Thank
feather
you.
thing.
I know, that's wild. I always tell people there's so many different mediums, right? There's so many of us that do a lot of the same healing modalities and stuff. And sometimes, like when you say that your mom didn't come through before or hasn't come through yet or whatever that may be, sometimes I tell people it's about the energy of the person that's delivering the messages too. Sometimes they may feel comfortable, just like how we have certain relationships with people in the earth realm. Same thing goes for the spirit realm, right? They're going to come through certain things. And that's why I tell people, like when they go for a reading and they're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this person did this or this person did that. And it's like, it could, it, or the people that come and seek us out. Let's use that as a perfect example. The people that come seek us out, they are seeking us because of our energy, right? And so they could be seeking out the another medium. And people have asked me, like, do you ever get jealous because like they're seeking out me? I absolutely not, because obviously they needed their energy and not mine. And I said, and so it's amazing because we should all be like rallying together and being like, you know what? It's no different than any other relationship. Like when I bring on a client for EMDR therapy, I usually vet them and I'll usually say to them, I'll be like, you know, I'll reach out and I'll give them like a free consult to see if we're going to work well energetically together. Because if I'm not the right one, then you know what? I have about 10 people in my back pocket that I could match them up energetically for a better fit, because the end goal is for them to get the healing that they need, right? So it's not always about the abundance behind it. I mean, money is a great thing, right? But it's not what it's truly about when it comes to healing. Healing is about healing.
Healing is about healing. Tell me about healing, specifically with the work you do with veterans and survivors of trauma. How is that for their soul journey? What are you able to do that helps piece them back together?
That is my absolute passion aside from mediumship. And it's interesting because mediumship, a lot of times I'll even surprise, because a lot of you think of a first responder. Let's think of the big burly sheriff, like the one that I'm married to. And you think of like there are these big, strong men and women and or veterans, whatever they may be, you think of like this strong presence, right? Well, when we think of that, especially depending on when we were born, how we grew up, sometimes people are born into that mindset of, you know, don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. Hold on to your emotions. Like emotions are dangerous. I've heard that tons of times from, especially from law enforcement, because emotions can be dangerous. They have to put that wall up, right? If we don't have that wall up, then we're not protected when we go out into that field. But what happens is when we come home, where that should be our sanctuary, sometimes we can't undress that cloak and we can't let that guard down. So then trauma comes into our relationships, whether it's our work relationships, our relationships with our husbands, our wives, whatever that may be. And it can be very detrimental. But a lot of times we think, oh, it's just something that happened in the field. Well, once we narrow it down and I get to play detective, we find out that there's a lot of other root problems, right? Maybe something happened with dad when we were 8 years old, and you know that carried on and it snowball affected, and then now we're, you know, we ha experience this other trauma and we realize that they're tied, the emotions are tied. So when we work with EMDR, all we're doing is activating the right and the left side of the brain. But the reason we're doing that is that that's where we reprocess memories, is during REM sleep, when the right and the left brain are active, when our eyes are moving back and forth. So me being a nurse, the reason I changed my whole career path to do this was because I came from a childhood of trauma and, you know, obviously married, divorced, widowed, all the fun things. I'm fun. No. So, but I carried all of that and I realized that I would be have that, you know, whether it be the victim mentality or all these things. Well, where was it stemming from? I never knew. So I sat down with somebody one day and I told her, and she's my therapist at the time, and she says, wow. She put her book down and she goes, I don't think I've ever said this to anybody before. She goes, but you should A, write a book, and B, you would be a perfect candidate for EMDR. And I said, well, what is that? And so she explained it to me. Well, that I went through it and it was a game changer. So that's how I ended up in law enforcement. So my late husband had tons of PTSD and tended to, you know, and I hate to air it out on air, but I'm going to because it's important and it makes it valid, is that he struggled with his relationship with his children because of things that he had seen as a firefighter related to kids, and he didn't know how to drop that at home. Now, many people out there may not know that about my Mark, but him and I had a lot of these deep dialogues about that, and he didn't get the opportunity to fix that, so to speak, before he passed. Now, What we do with the first responders, and I'm going to use them as an example. It's not, it could be anybody that walks in my door. But for instance, I had one come in and they had horrible anxiety and it was affecting their relationship at home. And they would have anxiety going into the courtroom. They would have anxiety, like, like, oh my gosh, I'm trapped, right? So when they would get into a dialogue with their wife, they felt trapped. They felt the anxiety get up. And then it would be explosive, right? On both ends, because one person's thinking one way and the other one's thinking the anxiety behind even having a dialogue, which people refer to as walking on eggshells. So what we do is we pinpoint certain scenarios that bring up, and we're going to use anxiety right now as an example. That bring up an anxiety within the person. We pinpoint a memory that's attached to it so we don't open Pandora's box, but we hold triggered memories in the back of our brain. Triggered memories, if they're young, are hard to reprocess because our brain isn't mentally developed enough to reprocess these things, especially if they're triggered. And we're not going to bed a lot of times thinking about that trigger over and over again because what do? We shove it deep down inside because we don't want to deal with it anymore. So think of happy memories are like bubbles. They're happy. That's why they're at weddings and they travel around. And then you have C-shaped memories is how I refer to it. And these are the memories that are triggered. So something triggers it. It's like force feeding somebody something bad. Well, what do you want to do? You want to react to it and spit it out, right? That's the reaction. So we pinpoint a memory. So let's say that with this person, we pinpointed being in, the courtroom and they're having this anxiety come up and and we pinpoint it and they close their eyes and we listen to a beep that goes back and forth very fast. So we trigger the memory. We bring the triggered memory from the back of our brain to the frontal cortex. We activate the amygdala, which is basically like your uvula, if you were to drill a hole in your brain, and it activates. And that's what creates those triggered responses. We don't want the amygdala to be activated, but as smart as our brain is, it's not that smart because it A doesn't realize that we're not in REM sleep when we do this. We're just recreating it so that we can bring that memory to the forefront, activate it, tie it to anything that connects with anxiety, and then we desensitize from it. So instead of packing it into a suitcase and pushing it down here like we typically do, we're not. We're unloading the suitcase. It's much easier to carry a makeup bag size of baggage versus like the, 10 years of trauma and we carry it around in our suitcase. So we activate that and we desensitize from it. So many people think of it as now you're looking at a movie and going, oh, I'm in the courtroom. Oh, yeah, I might feel a little bit of something come up, but I'm okay. And it's that simple. It's going from I'm anxious to I'm okay. And it's interesting to see that shift. And when it happens, the person realizes it and their whole life shifts. And they don't have the anxiety come up anymore, unless they experience something again that's super triggering. And then we can go in and I say fine tooth back into the, tune back into the radio station, so to speak, and clear that energy. But it's such a simple modality because so many times, and this may sound very, a lot of pharmaceuticals might not like me saying this, but a lot of times we band-aid things, right? And there are, oh my gosh, like our drug companies, they're there for a reason and we do need them for some things. But what we're doing a lot of times in mental health, and I love my therapist friends too, and they've helped me along the lines too. So I'm not negating them when I say this, but we can do talk therapy till we're blue in the face. But a lot of times what happens is we're patting down the scab, but then something happens and we pick it back open, right? And then we talk about it and we pat it back down. Imagine with EMDR, we're patting it down, we're allowing it to heal, and it's desensitized. We don't have to go back for that, unless something major happens again. The anxiety is now out here. We can recognize it. It creates like it's almost like high intensity training. We ramp it up and then we pause it. We go into a nice safe space setting and everything calms the autonomic nervous system, the amygdala shrinks. And it's so important because these first responders, they see a lot. All right. Even trauma nursing. Like I did trauma nursing. I see people were always passing. You see a lot of things and those things stick, but a lot of times we don't even realize it until it comes up in our personal lives. Right.
Yes, I am so grateful that you just said that and went as deep as you did. I am aware of for first responders that this EMDR, I've heard a lot, through my brother and his show and so forth, how powerful this is for people and this deep understanding I have for people with PTSD. And, I think it would be interesting. There's so many different groups of people, cultures of people whose parents or grandparents went through genocide. It's unbelievable what we as humans will do to other humans. And what people aren't often aware of is that it gets passed down generation to generation. So even someone who hasn't lived through the experience will have these knee-jerk experience, like, why am I reacting like this? Or why do I have these patterns in my life? It's not germane to me and where I am. And yet, if you could understand genetically that some of these horrors have been passed down, and it's really good to clean them up using things like these methods you're talking about, so you don't have to relive what your ancestors did.
100%, 100%. And it's such an easy modality, really. And when you find somebody who's really well trained in it and has that trauma training, some of these machines that we utilize can get you through it very quickly. And I tell people, I'm like, we should be getting them through it quickly within like 3 visits, right? To clear that anxiety. Now, if there's other things we have to use, then, that could mean more visits, but that's what true healing is to me. And people come to me too. And this is something I think is really important because I too had done, shadow work and all of these things. And I said, but I've done all this work, but something just still isn't right. And they're like, well, do you think that that was a waste? Absolutely not. Because all of the work that I did, all of this spiritual journey, the shadow work, the Reiki healing, everything played a role in it. And it brought it to the surface so that I could better achieve this goal of healing through all of that too. Because now I'm more aware of it versus us having to really pick off everything in an initial visit, right? And really have to sit down and be like, okay, well, what happened here? What happened there? When you're aware of all of that, it's so integrative into the healing process. It really is. So I tell people, make sure that if you're supposed to be on that journey, be on that journey.
Andrea, I like both of those. You and I are going to be at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles really, really soon, February 7th through the 10th. And I would like you to share with us about people who are coming and want to come see you. They can get tickets at debbiedashinger.com/CLE for Conscious Life Expo. What are you talking about? When are you talking?
I am going to be blending the science with all of this as well as the mediumship. So I'll be explaining a lot of that and doing readings. So this is going to be almost like a very large gallery setting. So I'll be picking up on whoever is in the audience there that is, those loved ones are coming forward. I'm going to definitely be doing a lot of connection and hopefully a lot of healing in doing so. So I really look forward to doing that. And you can find it under the Nurse Medium, under CLE, the Nurse Medium. So very excited. And I will be there on September 9th. Or no, it's not September. Oh my gosh, Sunday. Sunday night, the 9th, at 2 p.m.
Excellent. 2 p.m. We can come see you.
Yes.
And Andrea, this is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your next future goals?
My goals are to create conscious awareness. That is my goal. My goal is to do that through educating people on all these amazing things that we have available to us and really seeking out the things that we can't maybe even feel in a tangible form and making that a reality. That's what I dare to dream.
Thank you for coming on the show today. Thank you for
Thank
that brilliant
you.
reading and for all of what you do in your amazing work. And folks, if you'd like to check her out, because she speaks in a lot of places. And so there is throughout this country, at the very least, there's a lot of places you can connect with her, plus sessions at thenursemedium.com. And I end today's show with these ancestral healing affirmations. I am the elevated incarnation. I am the visionary manifestation. I am multidimensional healing. I am the new beginning. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Please subscribe, leave a comment. I read them all and share. this interview. And in the next weeks on the show, I've got Tim Tactical back and also the legend George Norrie from Coast to Coast Radio and Gaia TV shows. Thank you so much for joining Andrea, and I, and all of what's possible today on this planet for healing. We have so much at our fingertips. Do take advantage of it. And I look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book. And her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.